Well, hi, everyone, and welcome back to The Sound of Safety presented by Sincere. This is our third podcast in a six-part series exploring occupational hazards with our expert, Dr. Keith Darrow. Dr. Darrow, thank you again for joining us today.
Hey, no, thank you for having me here. Very excited for today's topic and the reach that we're getting with this podcast. So thank you for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. And it's been a learning for, I think, for all of us as we go through this. And so I hope our viewers are getting as much out of this as we are from just from an industry knowledge and also from a healthcare perspective as well. So I appreciate all of your insight on this. So in the last session, you know, we really kind of dove into an area that you're obviously very passionate about and looking at the healthcare and the mental healthcare aspects associated with hearing loss with workers. This podcast, we really want to open up the discussion of how do those physiological and mental implications for employees translate to the workplace. And so, you know, with that, what can employers really expect to see, you know, with an aging workforce and with employees that may be impacted by occupational hearing loss?
I'll make it really simple. Rising costs, right? I think that my hope is that might be the motivation when it comes to the employers, right? Because they have to have some incentive to want to do this, right? I think we can all agree it's the right thing, but ultimately in business, things boil down to money. And right now, today, the average cost, maybe even sort of closer to the minimum, is about $22,000 to $25,000 a year per employee in healthcare costs. Right. And that's usually for a healthy person. Once right. You get into the older adult, the costs only go up. And protecting hearing, as we've talked about on this podcast, really is the best form of preventative medicine. Right. Because if you consider treating hearing loss only costs about $2,000 a year, but a lot of people don't end up treating their hearing loss. And so think about the impact or the cost of caring for somebody who has cognitive decline, people who fall, people who deal with mental health issues, all of which are associated with hearing loss in older adults. The costs are what's really going to skyrocket and will hopefully motivate people to say, let's be proactive, not reactive.
No, absolutely. And so as we, you know, talk about the employer's impact, obviously the financial aspect, but, you know, for the employers to step back and be proactive on this, what are some of the things that they should be looking for with their employees as far as indications of potential hearing loss that may even translate into an ancillary safety issue later on? But what are those things that they really should be observing in their employees and paying attention to?
Look, that's a tough one because it's going to depend on the industry. It's going to depend on the employer. It's going to depend on if they're doing annual hearing tests, if they're actively engaging with their employers, if HR is involved. But typically what we start to see is isolation, mental health. That's where hearing loss really has one of its biggest impact is on isolation, is on mental health, is on stress, is on anxiety, right? And so if you see these in your employees, I think it's really important to differentially diagnose, are we dealing with purely a mental health issue, or is this mental health issue brought on by the stress and the anxiety of noise exposure, which we know results, you know, for a lot of people, perhaps even just the fact that they have hearing loss from that noise exposure increases the risk of all the stress, anxiety, and mental health that goes with it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've focused a lot, you know, on the noise levels and everything mm-hmm. within the workplace. And I think, you know, over history, again, we focus in on the widgets. We focus in just on hearing protection and eliminating that because that's really what the regulations are around. The regulations around it's this level, make sure you have hearing protection and get that down below that safe level. But it's much more complex than that, obviously. We've talked about that. When you put foamies in your ear, you kind of have this tunnel vision. And so how do we kind of, what is the advice we should be giving these safety professionals when they're looking at these devices and thinking beyond just meeting the regulations.
Well, then the next question is, what's the actual goal? Mm-hmm. Is it safety or is it money? Mm-hmm. Right. And I hate to say that, but the easy money fix is throwing the disposable earplugs at people and saying, here, you have to do this because we're required to. Right. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I think it boils down to, for safety's sake, which increases employee retention, employee success, employee outcomes, right? You need more along the lines of electronic earmuffs or communication earmuffs or, you know, noise canceling headphones, some sort of technology that allows you to stay safe, communicate, do your job properly, and protect your hearing. And no. the hard part of that is, as you know, is that does cost money. But if you want to reduce the long-term costs of healthcare, addressing these issues up front is going to save a ton of money.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, we're getting people to take a step back and look at the whole picture, because the cost of a widget that may significantly improve your safety and some of the other metrics that you're measuring versus, as you said before, I mean, tens of thousands of dollars over the lifetime. And then if you're providing healthcare plans, you know, post-retirement, now you're talking about even more, not to mention workers' comp as well. And so I think the challenge for all is, how do we bring that picture to these employers to address that money side of things?
I mean, I would imagine, and this isn't my, you know, strong suit, but I would imagine essentially a pro forma that puts forth the financial advantages of proactively addressing noise exposure, right? Because if you have these situations, if you have this technology in place, as I mentioned, there's all these benefits to having healthy hearing, not only later in life, but while on the job, right? Safety is typically the number one concern for employees, right? Because that's what will cost employers a lot of money if somebody gets hurt on the job. And frankly, foam plugs reduce that situational awareness and leave your employees at risk for other accidents, or I should say for more accidents, for falls, for getting hurt on the job.
Yeah. And there's a lot that's been published on there on conservation studies and conservation programs in the workplace. And, you know, leaving that aside, in the ideal world, you know, I mean, you've obviously seen what happens 20, 30 years after everything's already set in. But in an ideal world, I'm sure you've given this some thought over your career, is what would be the ideal program to really really help address this, drive compliance? I mean, is it annual hearing tests? Mm. Is it, you know, new technology, whatever it is? But what are some of the things that you've seen, you know, work well, or if you had to give some advice to these safety professionals on things that they should be looking at and instituting, measuring, those type of things to prevent this and change this over the course?
That's a great question. I think it boils down to education and awareness, right? I think right now, let's think about a compliance officer. Their job is to be compliant, to follow the rules, right? Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily their job to go and learn about these health conditions and why it's so important. And so this type of podcast, your company, there's so much work being done in industrial occupational noise, health, and exposure that I think explaining the risks, right? Mm-hmm. So that the compliance officer, and then I think you've got to put that education in the hands of the employees also, because then they can come together and fight for better standards, right? So understanding the long-term consequences of exposure to high level noise, right? Because look, people don't understand, nor do I blame them for not understanding, the long-term consequences of cumulative noise exposure. But if we were educating them up front, like, hey, yeah, it's great. You go home at the end of the day and you seem to hear fine, but what you don't realize is the cumulative long-term effects. And instead of getting, you know, hearing loss when you're 80 and old and retired, like, this is going to happen to you when you're 55, which will lead to early retirement, which will lead to loss of wages, which could lead to higher insurance costs for you and your family that your work may not cover, right? So I think it boils down to education and awareness, and then recalibrating that information on a regular basis through an occupational noise program, through annual testing, through, I mean, there's all sorts of ideas that are out there.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that isn't talked about a lot, and we get end users coming to us a lot that have already started to experience this in the workplace. And as a result, now can't do jobs that they were trained for and they're skilled for. Is this something that people, or have you seen it, you know, in the research or literature, have people started looking at not only kind of the post-occupational, but how many employees are now in the workplace today that employers are forced to now move into very narrow jobs or different jobs or things like that that may not be skillful, because that's an added cost too. That's productivity. That's additional resources that you have to put in place. And I don't think
additional training and then rehiring for that other position. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. And I think that's one of those things where, you know, in my field, there are people that have that say, you know, hearing loss is really the silent disorder. It's the silent pandemic. It's the silent killer, right? Because it really does change things. And unfortunately, once we finally say, yeah, I don't hear so good, I can promise you it's already too late. The damage is done. There is no going back. So yes, of course, you have to move that person out of the noisy situation. You have to you have to train them for a new position. You have to make all of these accommodations. Whereas, again, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but if we were proactive about it, if we were educated about it, right? I mean, think about it. Unions, even non-union, right? I think once you get employees to sort of band together in whatever form and say, hey, look, we have to fight for our rights. We have to fight for our future and our health. And in doing so, we're actually reducing long-term costs.
Yeah, I think I'm still amazed is, you know, we've talked a lot about how long the research has been out there. The data has been out there for people to educate themselves and become more knowledgeable about this. And the research is out there that should scare us into being more proactive on this. And it kind of hits me. We just came back from one of the largest national safety conferences in the United States. And as we walked around the show, there was probably, I mean, tens of vendors around hydration, eyeglass prevention, all these kind of new hot topics out there. And we're putting wearable devices for hydration and different types of analytical monitoring. And hearing was just kind of muted, not to use a pun, but there was.
What happened to just getting a drink of water on break? That's look, I accepted it a long time ago because I'm in the field. Hearing isn't sexy, I think, is what it boils down to, right? And yeah. So it really is one of those things that gets ignored, and that's so disappointing to hear that. But I can't say that it surprises me that addressing hearing loss falls on deaf ears, right? I think it's a very appropriate pun to use, especially when I don't want to get political, but in general, politicians tend to ignore it themselves, right? The great answer to the 50 plus million people in the United States who have hearing loss, as far as politics are concerned, was just sign some legislation and say, here, you can go get cheap over-the-counter hearing aids. Like, that does nothing to address the major health issue that we're dealing with. Hearing loss is the third most common chronic condition affecting older adults. And so it's just, yeah, that doesn't surprise me that industry is sort of following the lead of politics and government. And just, we continue to just kick that can down the road and not accept the science of how detrimental hearing loss is, especially in the workplace.
Well, and it's interesting you bring up the politics because, you know, I've talked to some of our regulatory experts and things like that, and I was amazed to hear the lack of funding from a federal level compared to other areas of health concerns and epidemics. There seems to be very little focus from a government standpoint to fund improvements in our regulations and the research associated with it.
Oh, absolutely. The within the National Institute of Health, one of the divisions is the NIDCD, which that's where hearing loss falls under, National Institute of Deafness and Communication Disorders. It is one of, if not the least funded, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of research. There is money that's put out there, but it is one of the least funded. And that's, given what we know, to me, and I guess you can say I'm biased, I'm in the industry, it's just, it makes no sense on the surface when you have this major health condition. It's the number one most common neurologic condition on the planet, and it's one of the least studied, least funded, least treated medical conditions.
Well, and I guess, you know, it's an interesting way to look at it too, because I mean, we've just, you know, spent a lot of time talking about the financial impact to employers, but the financial impact to our government, when you look at the Medicare costs that are associated with hearing loss, and we still can't seem to get the attention that it deserves, obviously.
Yeah, we have the science is out there to potentially slow. I mean, I want to get to the later stages of hearing loss, and because we're talking about, like you brought up, the companies that have post-employment insurance plans, treating hearing loss is a bargain. Treating hearing loss, we're talking a couple thousand dollars a year. If you can slow the progression of cognitive decline, which costs the average family $73,000 a year to care for somebody, if you can keep them out of a hospital, out of an institution, if you can prevent them from falling, which costs $30,000 per incident, right? The costs add up. It's just, we as a society tend to be more reactive and tend not to think in terms of preventative medicine. But like I said, so that's why I think it's education, it's training, it's sort of hitting people over the head with the numbers that if you can protect people earlier in life, you will not only save that person and improve their quality of life, but you will save financially.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it always kind of amazes me when you look back and, you know, you walk into a plant site and you see all the metrics, you know, slip and falls, near misses, all the different common practices that you have on a plant. Hearing loss is not typically there.
No.
Metrics, it's not.
No, you don't go to, I'll just use this as an example because I think anybody listening could understand this. You don't walk into Home Depot. You walk into Home Depot and you see those pins, right? It's been 637 days since I've fallen, right? You don't see anything related to ears. And I was just using them as an example, but you don't see it anywhere. All you see is a picture that says, you know, you must wear hearing protection. This is a whole other discussion about the lack of enforcement. I mean, that's a whole other issue to deal with. And that typically, as we've spoken about, boils down to the safety and the individual, the end user, not feeling safe. And I think they're completely justified in not feeling safe if they can't hear what's happening around them.
No, and I think that's why it's so important. You and I have talked about this, and we talked about it a lot in the last podcast, is end users taking ownership for this. And there's only so much that employers can do too, from driving compliance. I mean, safety organizations are usually pretty strapped with budgets, resources, things like that. And to be able to monitor thousands of employees on a site is challenging to say the least. And so getting the end users, getting the people that are wearing these devices to have ownership for their own health and awareness of what the impact of their environment is around them, both from a short-term and long-term, I think is going to be the crucial you know, domino that needs to fall in this before we start seeing some kind of impact.
I mean, think about this. I just, as you were talking, I just had this example. I had this thought. I remembered a research paper I read where basically for every 10 decibels of hearing loss, your risk of falling increases about 140%. Now, why do I bring that up? When you wear foam earplugs, you have essentially a mild to moderate hearing loss. It's, although it's temporary, but that's the world you're living in. You're walking around at work with a mild to moderate hearing loss. Well, guess what, Mr. Employer? That person is potentially at a 280% increased risk of falling while on the job. And so why not get them the proper hearing protection that allows them safety and situational awareness that will reduce their risk of falls? Because as we've talked about, falls is one of those things that everybody in the compliance and occupational safety world is obsessed with.
No, and that's interesting. I think that's one of a very key aspect that isn't brought up a lot of times. And when we talk about risk and falls, when we go on plant sites and, you know, in my own experience, you know, employers spend a ton of money on reflective tape and making sure that people can see, you know, tripping hazards. It's all more visual than, you know, other sensory type of awareness of what's going on. And that's impactful to know that, you know, that loss of, you know, hearing or your depth of perception and sensory awareness has that kind of impact on slips and falls when, we keep trying to solve it with widgets and putting more things out there from a visual standpoint, not really addressing the true problem.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. So I think with that, I think we'll kind of bring this to an end, and, you know, I will leave it with this note. I think, you know, a couple of things that you really brought out in this podcast is, you know, how some of the practices that we have today really impact ancillary safety metrics. So, I mean, if slip and falls and near misses and all these things are key measurements as an employer that you're paying attention to, don't forget hearing. Hearing impacts every one of those aspects, and it should be a factor in whatever program that we're coming up with. So thank you, Dr. Darrow. I appreciate it. And stay tuned for our next podcast. Well, we're kind of taking a step back and really looking at the different types of noises and what their impacts are and what are some of the short-term and long-term effects of different types of noise on our workers. But I appreciate you being here again, Dr. Darrow. It was a fabulous conversation. And to our viewers, please leave your comments, your suggestions. I can't say that enough. Or if there's topics that maybe that Dr. Darrow and I are missing, we look forward to your suggestions. But with that, thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Darrow.
Thank you.